The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
So I want to start out today by talking about what remains. And our passage of scripture is a familiar passage if you have your Bible or you've been around church ever. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That's where we're going to be. So if you got your Bible or you got your phone, Eddie, you can take that out and pull it up on it. But the idea of a legacy is something that attaches to all of us, isn't it? Like, we want to leave a legacy. Everybody has this kind of thing in us that they want to leave something of themselves with others. We want to have something to pass on. We want to give them wisdom or knowledge or money or, you know, whatever the case is. Our goal is this: to give our kids and our grandkids a what? A legacy, a better life, something better than we had it. That's what we want to leave behind, is a better life for them. That's why you save the environment. That's why we outlawed straws and different things like that, is because we're trying to save the environment and make the world a better place for those who come behind us. It's the legacy we want to leave. So, with that in mind, this morning, I'm going to assume that you are here, and if you're here, you want to leave something good behind. So, let's dive into our passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, bonus points. This is known as the what? I'm so glad you said that. Hang on to that thought. All right. If I speak with the tongues of men or of angels, but I don't have love, I'm a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have all gifts of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith so that I can move mountains, but I do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give all my possessions to the poor and give my body over to the hardship that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. In fact, love never fails. But where there is prophecy, it will cease, and where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For now we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the completeness comes, what is in part will disappear. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put away the ways of childhood behind me. For now I see as only in a reflection in a mirror, but then I will see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Paul ends this with such an interesting phrase. We know this as the love chapter. The funny thing is, there's only four verses really that deal with love. The rest of the chapter has, there are 13 verses in the whole chapter. Four of them deal with love. The rest of them actually deal with the idea that there is this time in our life when things will cease. Now, what does it mean, will cease? If I tell you cease and desist, some of y'all know that phrase all too well. What does that mean? Stop, right? Don't go on. Don't continue. Don't do this anymore. So the majority of this chapter covers is what happens when things stop. In other words, when you and I stop, when we breathe our last breath, what remains? What will remain when everything that you and I have done stops and ceases? And that's actually what this chapter covers, is what is going to be our legacy. What is going to be the lasting impact? This chapter is about what matters in life. And I know y'all pick on me for my Bible, and I am going to get it redone, I promise. But one of the reasons I love this Bible is because I've got notes to myself everywhere in it. The very front of my Bible, I have this word, or these words: focus on what matters. That's something I want to live my life by, because the truth of the matter is, we get distracted a lot of times with things that don't really matter. And so one of the things I want to be conscious of with my life is focusing on what matters. And this chapter in Corinthians actually tells us that we need to focus on what matters, because there's going to come a time when things cease. With that, look back at the list that he gives you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 1, he tells you that if there are gifts of tongues and of men of angels, and again in verse 8, he says, where there are tongues, they'll be stilled. The idea is this: it's not just what you say. You could be the best speaker. You could be the most eloquent speaker. You could say all the right things at all the right times, but it's not just what you say that matters, is it? Like Kelsey just talked about with the kids, sometimes, y'all ever made this mistake? You're not going to wear that, are you? Now, it's a legitimate question, but it's a stupid one to ask, right? Why? Because it's not just what you say that matters. How many of you guys have ever done this? You've said something, oh man, this hurts. You've said something to your kids, and then all of a sudden you've done something different than what you said to your kids, and they come to you and they say, that's not what you said to do. You said we can't eat any snacks after dinner, Dad. Why are you eating a cookie? Because I'm a dad and you're a kid. Yeah, but like, it's not just what we say. It won't be just what you say that matters. In the Bible, there's these verses, and they say this: your speech can be very articulate, but unfortunately what you say won't be remembered. How many of y'all remember what I said last week when I was up here? Why? My words don't matter that much sometimes. Your words don't matter sometimes. And the reality is, our words alone aren't remembered for the most part. But it's not just that. He continues and he says this. He says, if I have all gifts and all prophecy and all knowledge, it's not just what you teach that matters either. See, he says, it's not just what you say. It's not just what you teach. How many of you have ever, grandparents, this is a great thing, Grandparents Day. Parents, how many times have you told your kids one thing doesn't go anywhere, but grandma or grandpa say it, and all of a sudden it sticks? You know what I'm talking about? But it also works the other way, doesn't it? Grandparents, how many times have you tried to pour the wisdom of your life into somebody else and doesn't stick? Why? Because it's not just what we teach. We can do the best job we have. We can have all knowledge and all wisdom and all gifts of prophecy and all this intelligence up here. But it's not just what we teach that sticks. He keeps going. It's not just what you say. It's not just what you teach. It's not just what you believe. Belief is a great thing and it's very important. It shapes our life, but belief alone isn't what stands. Don't you wish sometimes that your belief could be your legacy? Man, that you could make your family members believe the way that you do. Or your friends, you wish so much that you could make your friends believe the same things that you believe. And if you could pass on anything to them, it would be the gift of belief. Well, Paul says is that belief alone won't stand. I know then, it's actions, right? Actions speak louder than words. They speak louder than what you teach. They speak louder than what I believe. So actions are the thing that will... No. Actually, Paul covers that too. If I give all my possessions to the poor and I give my body over to hardship that I may boast, but I don't have love, I've done nothing. See, the reality is it's not just what we do or don't do, because actions alone aren't enough. It's not sometimes what we do or what we don't do that will last. So if that's the case, then what lasts? Paul gives you this idea here, and he says, listen, here's all the list of things you and I can pour our lives into to try and make them matter, right? We can try and say all the right things. We can try and teach all the right things. We can try to believe all the right things. We can try and do all the right things. But none of that's really going to matter at the end of your life. Alone. So what matters? Paul gives you the idea that the things that are important and matter and will remain are faith, hope, and love that you live your life with. 1 Corinthians 13:13, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Paul says, while those other things, what you say, what you teach, what you believe, what you do, while those things are important, them by themselves don't stand the test of time. Only when you couple those things with faith, hope, and love do they actually begin to mean something. Do they actually matter? Do they make an impact like you want them to? So if that's the case, then what are faith, hope, and love? Great church terms, wonderful. We all have heard this passage before, but what does it actually mean, faith, hope, and love? Well, the Bible does a pretty good job of breaking most of this stuff down. Faith. Faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance of what we have not seen. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, right? But what does that mean? What does it mean to have faith? What does faith actually look like in your life and in my life? Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, Paul says this, "We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what we see is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says this, "We walk by faith, not by sight." Faith means that you trust in something you can't see. It means that you trust in the character of God. That's tough. Because I think a lot of us don't know the character of God. We can quote scripture to you. We can tell you about the God who took down Goliath with a little sling and a little stone. But what about the character of God? Now, let me do this as best I can. Mr. John, I'm going to give you... Actually, no, not a phone. That's not important. Mr. John, you mind to hold that for me? Now, we're still married, don't worry. But I just gave Mr. John something really important to me, right? Why would I do that? Because I know his character. I know the character of that man. So I trust him to take care of that. I trust him to care for that because I know his character and I know he's a trustworthy person. See, what happens with us is we have a hard time trusting in God because we don't know the character of God. We know stories about God, but we've never actually placed our faith and our trust in him to know enough about his character to say, "Hey, listen, here's my life, God. You can have it. I trust you with it. Because I know the kind of person you are." I feel kind of naked without that. I'm going to get it back. So is your life marked with trust, not just in what you can comprehend, but in the God who you can't even see because you know enough about his character from what you've actually placed in his hands and watched him do in your life? Hope is the next thing he gives. And it's funny because hope is similar to faith for a lot of us, isn't it? When we use those two words, we talk about faith and we talk about hope, and it seems like almost they're the exact same thing. But hope is this desire with expectations to obtain or fulfill, to expect something with confidence. There's some scriptures in your notes there. Romans chapter 8, "For this is our hope, we are saved. But our hope is not, but hope that is seen is not hope at all. Who hopes for what they can already see?" Romans 15, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." What's the difference between faith and hope? Faith is trusting God. Hope is being confident enough in who Christ is and what he's done on the cross, that it causes us to live lives of conviction that we believe who Christ says he is and everything that he commands us to do. Hope means this: I'm confident enough in the work of Christ on the cross, what he did when he forgave my sins, that I let it transform, I let it convict my life, I let it live my life with some confidence that says, I believe everything Jesus said was true. I believe the way I love is important. I believe the way I live my life is important. I believe I'm expected to do certain things. I'm supposed to live my life in a way that glorifies God with my life. I'm supposed to do those things. Why? Not because of the Bible, but because my confidence is in Christ. And I believe everything that he promises and everything that he commands me to do. And I expect that someday all that is going to come to an end. When I see him and he's either going to say one of two things, well done. You got it. You lived your life with a purpose, with a meaning, with intention. Or he's going to say, depart from me, for I never knew you. The third element of this, and this is why this chapter gets this title of the love chapter, is love. Again, you have it there, but love is patient. It's kind. It's not jealous or arrogant or proud. It's honorable, it's selfless, it's tempered, it's forgiving, it's honest, it's protective, it's trusting, it's hopeful, and it's enduring. Over in John chapter 4, John says this, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Later on in that chapter, he says, we love because he first loved us. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 says this, let everything you do be done in love. This is a great definition of what love is. In fact, really, this, if you take 1 Corinthians 13, and that's why we call it the love chapter, is because it gives you a very clear picture of what love is. And so there really is no question of what love is, because this gives you the criteria. But the question becomes, is what we do in our life lavished with love? And I use the word lavish because when I was going through this, lavished is over the top. It's unrestrained love. Is your life marked by unrestrained, over the top love? I told you guys when we first moved here that we pray, we have a prayer. It's our family prayer. That our family would be known for our passionate love for God, our reckless love for other people, and our passionately love God, recklessly love other people, willingness to live every single day with all we have for Christ. That's our family prayer. The hardest part of that prayer for me to pray over my kids is this, that they'll recklessly love other people. Why? Because I know that means they're going to get hurt. I know at some point in time, somebody's going to take advantage of them because they recklessly loved other people. Because they live their life with this lavish, over-the-top, unrestrained love that doesn't hold back because of what they're afraid they're going to lose, but says, listen, I need to love you anyways because he loved me, and because he loved me, I have to love you regardless of the person you are or what you're going to do to me. And that's a tough prayer to pray over my kids. Church, I started praying that for you when we moved here. Because I think our church needs to be known for our passionate love for God, but our reckless love for other people. That doesn't hold back because they don't look like us, they don't dress like us, they don't talk like us, they're not from the same socioeconomic class as us, they don't come into the doors of church smelling like us or looking like us, but because they are precious and loved by God, we recklessly love them with everything we have because they need to see that in us. See, church, it's not just what we say that matters. It's not just what we teach that matters. It's not just what we believe that matters. It's not just what we do that matters. It's what do we say, teach, believe, and do that are mixed with faith, love, and hope. Are all those things, is what we teach, is what we say, is it seasoned with love? Is it seasoned with hope? Is it seasoned with faith? Is what we do, is your life, is my life lived with faith, hope, and love in mind? Are my actions, are the things I teach and what I try to tell my kids, are those things lived in view of a faith, love, and hope mentality? Because if not, then they're not going to matter, they're not going to last, and they're not going to stand the test of time. This chapter is about what we say, teach, and believe and do, bursting with faith, hope, and love. So this morning, my question for you is real quick. this. Is that your life? Are you on the other side? Because again, when you look at this chapter, it's funny how Paul does this. He tells you two different times, hey, listen, just to say the right words, not enough. Just to teach the right things, not enough. That's going to be done away with. Just to believe the right things for you, that's going to pass away. Just to do the right things to get your checklist marked, not going to stand the test of time. What's going to remain is how faithful, how hopeful, and how loving you were in every area of your life. So, church, what are you? There's going to come a point in time. This church won't be here. I don't know when that will be. I don't know how it will be. But at some point in time, this church won't be here. But what legacy will we leave on this community? There's going to come a point in time when you're not going to be here. Every one of us is destined to die. What's going to remain from your life? Oh man, John, he could tell some jokes. he was a pretty entertaining pastor. He would walk around a little bit and that would make us think. My kid's going to be able to say, man, Dad, he could work. But no lasting legacy of faith that says, hey, listen, I know so much about the character of God. I'm willing to invest everything our family has in this because this is real. Is my life lived hopeful in the promises of who God is because I believe the places that what he's done in my life is confident enough to change my convictions to make me live a life that glorifies him? Is what I do loving? Does it meet that criteria at all? Or is it done out of selfish ambition or pride or arrogance? This morning, I hope you will make a choice on Legacy Day 2023 that you're going to leave a legacy of faith, love, and hope that will stand the test of time, and long after you're gone, people will remember exactly the kind of person you were because you were those things. God, this morning, I pray that you would just speak through your word, Father. God, I pray that you would help us as a church to be a church that is marked not just for what we say or do or teach, but God, we're a church that speaks of faith and hope and love to our community. God, the only way that happens is if we, as individuals, become people who live lives of faith, love, and hope. That what we say, what we teach, what we believe, and what we do are bursting with faith, love, and hope. God, I pray that you would be with us today. Lord, during this invitation, I pray that you would help us to commit to living lives of legacy that will last the test of time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.